Blog Talk Radio.
There's a brand new addition to the therapeutic entourage. I hand you, ladies and gentlemen, the poetic massage. Therapy through poetry, felt physically, but done vocally. Composed so you get open noticeably. Uncontrollably, you're letting go with
let go.
Have you floating like we're over the ocean sea. You go home hurriedly, just to open the new CD of poetry. Cause you'll get used to me when I introduce you to the masseuse in my sound. Who can loose your muscle groups from your crown on down. Giving you visions of peaceful lands where you can get away. Come using the rhythm as my hands, I soothe your stress away. Speak to your air and make your body relax. Close your eyes and you hear my voice rubbing back. You burnt out, feel my flow warmly soaking your nerves. You're learning now what I know about the calmly spoken word. Poetic relaxation, ease your headache with recitation. Reach through your speaker just to ease you when the day is done. And for those that like choking, smoking that dome, blowing weed, when you're wound tight, you can get open off this homegrown poetry. It's more natural than smoking herbs. And you can't get more natural than spoken words. And no subliminals. All blatantly. And you'll be feeling all sensations as my speech reach in your skin. Bass chase away your tension. Each verse superbly worded to curb your nerves from stress retention. Just relax. And did I mention your mental suspension? What first disturbed you won't be referred to as we incur your ascension. Inserting verbs that urge you to slur your words in terms of relaxation. So just lie and close eyes and comply with slow sighs. I'll have to urge you to return to earth cause you'll be flying so high. You won't be alert to or show concern to the time that goes by. When you get in it and start to feel it, relation, total relaxation, start to finish like a 3-minute vacation. And when we're almost done, I'll apply a vibrato and make your whole body hum in reply to my recital sign. So light your candles, burn your incense, lay in bed, couch, or bath. If you're angry, I intend to help you let out your wrath. No psychology, this is not when you think about your man. Just nod to me, and I'll have you bent without glass or ash. Poetic therapy, on the low, like Clark Kent about his past. Poetic therapy, it's about to blow, cause once it's felt, it's bound to pass. And now, alas, stanzas are the hands of a poet, and they flow with remedy. I'll massage you from head to toe with a dose of poetic therapy.
when your mama got your first bite? Type of feeling when you went and won your first fight? How your team felt winning championship games? Celebrate in a huddle, dancing in this rain. Have a thought, see a shooting star across your screen. Put in hard work, finally you're living your dream. Deaf man get his hearing now, income vibes. Blind man gaining sight, see his first sunrise. Dumb man speaking out, now he's loud and clear. First of your child, smile so proud you wear. Going in your third eye for the style you hear. Making music that'll thump for a thousand years. Eating right, feeling conscious like health is first. Said a prayer that's sincere when you felt it work. Times I feel I wanna shout, man, it's real that way. When I think of things that make you feel that way. Feel that way. Something coming over me. Summer days more likely that you notice breezes. Winter days more likely that you notice heat. When I'm gone, more likely that you notice me. In the dark, it's more likely that you notice light. In the light, more likely that you notice night. Hungry, more appreciation for that meal. Dead broke, more appreciation for that grill. A bad day, I'll make you really notice once it's good. And that'll make things a little better understood. Times I feel I wanna shout, man, it's real that way. When I think of things that make you feel that way.
Good evening. I'm your host, La Perla Negra, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Rob Jembe, poet, Murrow, and this is Poetic Therapy. How you doing tonight, Rob?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How about yourself, Queen?
I'm fighting allergies and heat, but other than that, I'm good. how hot does it get over there where you're at?
Well, I'm up what they call the desert, and it gets into the hundreds, but you know, it's a dry heat, but sometimes it'll get a little humid from time to time. Right now it's hot, and again it gets windy and stuff, so yeah, it's hotter than sometimes, you know.
Yeah, it went into the hundreds today, but I'm dealing with it, and so is everybody else over here on this side of the world. But before I go any further, let me finish introducing the show. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Poetic Therapy, and you are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got my raw links on, Rob. You got yours on?
Yes, I do.
All right. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please, by all means, press that one. Now, I have to give a big shout-out before I go any further to a very good friend of mine, because he is not only the CEO of Epiphany Radio, he is also the CEO of Raw Link. And you can acquire them over at rawlinkbraw.facebook.com. You can also acquire them on Amazon, I believe. And if you can't get them over there, you just holler at your girl, and I'll make sure we get a hold of some. All right. I just wow, you know, this topic here is it can be a little triggering for some because, you know, we all have our issues within our families. Chosen and not chosen.
Right.
I know for me, my poetry, it started because of family issues.
Right.
You know, a lot of things went go on within families, and the issues are not addressed, especially with one such as myself that come from a very large family with a lot of siblings. That means a lot of cousins, aunts, a lot of uncles. And usually the younger siblings kind of get, not that we don't get love or some kind of attention, but it's more like, oh, you'll be okay. You're just a baby right now type dismissal, you know?
Right.
So a lot of my poetry, it stemmed actually from my family issues. What about you?
Well, yeah, the topic that we're discussing is, you know, how does your relationship with your family, whether it's family issues or even positive things are going on in your family, how does it affect your writing, you know, as a poet? Well, for me, growing up, you know, I had, my mother and my father, even though they were divorced, they did play a significant part in my upbringing to a certain extent. You know, honestly, it's really hard to explain because, you know, my writing as a poet wasn't really influenced by them, even though my father was a musician, a music teacher as well. My mother, she was an activist, community activist who worked for the youth program in San Francisco at this church that we used to attend and stuff. So, and then along with other activities, she did write some poetry as well. You know what I'm saying? I think she wrote a play. She wrote a play too called, it was entitled Madam Lord. And, you know, deal with that aspect. But all in all, you know, I never really saw any influences during that time, up until when they both made the transition, and I wrote a couple of poems to dedicate to my mother and my father as well. But in terms of any of the typical, you know, hostilities or the negativities that have gone on in my life and stuff, it didn't really, you know, it's kind of contradictory because this is what we're bringing up the topic here, but it never really fully affected my family. Never had my impact and stuff. You know, my sisters and my brother. You know, it wasn't really something that, you know, that affected my writing or affected my life in any way, shape, or form. So that's the one thing I can say.
Okay. Well, yeah, mine had a major, major impact because one of the issues in the relationship that I had with my mother, which wasn't you deem a normal mother-daughter relationship, was the fact that her preference was lighter-skinned people. She had in her mind a certain belief that lighter skin was royalty. And me being the dark one in my family, even my twin was a lighter skinned person. And I was, not only was I the dark one, I was the dark one with the very, very coarse hair. Okay.
Right.
And she, I don't know how my grandmother and my grandfather brought her up. I know my grandfather didn't really care for his black grandchildren, because my grandfather was a Scotsman, and he loved to sit back and drink his beer and listen to his transistor radio.
Right.
How I knew, I remember going to being taken over there at a very, very, very young age. And every time we were taken over there, we were not allowed to make any noise at all. We were not allowed to get up and run around and play. We had to sit in a chair. And if we had to go to the bathroom, we had to be extremely, extremely quiet about it. He was not affectionate. He did not acknowledge us. My grandmother, she was a little Cherokee woman. But at that time, you're talking the early, early 70s, they deemed her as a black woman. Because that's just what they did with, you know, the indigenous people. They didn't want any recognition or any acknowledgement that she was Indian, so they considered her to be a black woman. And it was a lot of negativity between me and my mother. A lot of things happened to, was allowed to happen to me, and I was also put in positions for things to happen to me purposely when I was very young. And I was not allowed to talk about it or even, you know, confide in anyone because she was the matriarch of the family, which is very, very large. I grew up in a family of 12 kids, okay? And though they don't make families like that nowadays, it was a lot of, I don't even know how to say it, just a lot of things where, you know, you see, but you don't say. And that with me, what started me writing poetry, I was so distraught one night. And no matter what, it was during the day. And I always liked to write. I always had a book with me and a pencil or a crayon, and I always would write down whatever. But this particular day, and I remember it clearly, I was going to the bathroom, and I sat in the bathroom, and I just started writing down my feelings. To look at it now, an adult really wouldn't understand what I was writing because it was coming from the mind of a 10-year-old. But for me to look at it, I know exactly what it meant. And when it wasn't taken from me, it was my books weren't messed with, my words weren't played with or anything like that. Even though it was silent and I was just writing them down, nobody messed with them, I fell in love with poetry at that age. I didn't know it was poetry, but I knew that that part of me wasn't going to be distorted, tainted, taken away, touched or anything. And I fell in love with writing after that. So that's pretty much how it affected my poetry and me just starting to really, really write. Now, I didn't find my voice until Epiphany, really. And that was like a little over 4 years ago. So you're talking a 53-year-old woman, okay, in all these years. Even in my marriage, I couldn't, you know, with my husband being a narcissist and a womanizer and just the worst of, there was a lot of manipulation and a lot of fear instilled in me, and I just did not speak up. So I will be forever grateful to For Real, the poet, because if not for him, I mean, I believe that the universe would have eventually put me in a place where I would find that I could completely be myself. But but For Real, being a very good friend of mine and us getting back in touch with each other, I found my voice, and I'm grateful for that.
And that's beautiful, and that's beautiful. And I think we always have ways of finding out where we're going and stuff and dealing with and anything that we have contend with in terms of our problems, especially with concerns with our families, you know, whether it's poetry, whether it's music, we always find there is always a way to have an outlet, to express yourself, you know. And I know back then when talk about my parents, you know, like I said, my mother and my father were divorced, and I just basically just, you know, I had a pretty good relationship with both my parents. You know, my father was more the authoritarian in that aspect, but he wasn't, you know, as strict or hard and stuff, you know. Yeah, there were a few times while I was at his house, like, you know, can I go out and play? And pops, like, man, just read a book, you know. But he never was that hard. Hardcore disciplinarian that you just completely has emotion, who is emotionally numb to any type of sense of compassion or caring or love, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but nevertheless, you know, there are some lessons that that were manifested that it took me quite a while to understand or overstand its purpose, its meaning, you know. But I learned it nonetheless, you know, being strict and being strong. And my mother, yeah, she was the same way, you know, somewhat the same way, but, you know, that she was so enamored in her and her work and her dedication to the community and stuff. So despite our relationship, you know, she was doing her own thing, and I never had to worry too much about, you know, the abuse or the neglect and stuff, you know, never have to worry about that, you know. Of course, just like every other parent, you wonder and you question things that are, okay, what sense does that make, or why she do that, or why she did that? But, yeah, but I'm pretty thankful that, you know, that I, you know, have such a, dad, some pretty good, decent individuals as my mother, my father, you know, great individuals, and Joyce June Hayes and Robert Morrow and stuff. So, and every time when I, you know, when I'm on my computer, I have them together, you know, and my sisters, my older sisters are in the foreground. And it's to me, it's a dedication of the people who my presence in this realm of life is because of them, you know what I'm saying? So I always look at them as that vessel of what created me. And even though it's like, you, it took me a while, you know, to really understand that, you know, it's like, nevertheless, I see the importance of who they are, what they represent. And I think any parent, regardless who they are, you know, they, excuse me, they hold some sort of significance to your upbringing and your growth, whether it's positive or negative. But anyway, the telephone number once again to call is 319-527-6300. So, sister, did you want to do a poem?
I sure do. I have something. It's a very short piece, but. And I know I repeat myself all the time, but I am the queen of short pieces. This is something I jotted down the other day, and I just add a little bit to it. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we should call you La Pearl and the Shorty.
Oh, God, please. We're going to talk about that later.
Get those short pieces all the time, man. The mic is yours, queen.
Thank you. All right, this is Untitled. I've never known what it's like to be in a relationship that's fought for and held together. But because my heart is made of cries and smiles, I know my worth. Yet I still stumble around a bit at times in this thing called life, and throughout it all, the hurt endured, I still try to keep the light of love shining above it all. When what you love shows up as what left you broken purposely in the past, it starts your fight for survival all over, making you realize that your skin has more room for wounds and scars and how it isn't as thick as you thought it was. in my experience, my cries to them of how they hurt me is never received well. So, no, I don't want to tell my story again. But the lines of it can be read between the beats of my heart and behind the dimmed light in my eyes. I've just received enough rejection from this life, and I don't recover well from people in their presence, so I just quietly walk away, and that's that piece.
They're short, but they pack quite a wallop, you know. And so tell me, just give me a little quick synopsis of what motivates you to write that piece about kind of understanding and, you know, help me out here, understanding, you know, certain things you want to tell, but you're reluctant to. Am I off base here?
Okay. I'm a little reluctant about certain things, but it stemmed like from. I recently was dealing with something. I'm always dealing with something, but recently I was dealing with something that was very, it put me in a very tender frame of mind, kind of hurt me. And I wanted to confront it, but I wasn't sure. And the kind of person that I am when I am hurt or when something touches me deeply from someone that I care about tremendously or someone that I love, I am not so quick to confront them with it. I will fall back. That comes from being cut off, being shut off, being told to be quiet, keep your mouth shut. You don't have anything to say, or what you say is of no significance. It carries no weight. And that has been done to me the major part of, most part of my life. So eventually I do say something because I know that it's not just me that cares about that person. That person cares about me as well. I do say something, but it takes a little time for me to get up the nerve to actually do that because that is a complex that I have developed over the years. And it's some things that we deal with from generational trauma, childhood trauma, whatever. It takes a long, long time to allow that to surface so we can release it. I haven't released it yet because I don't know how. So I just do what I would normally have done. I just shut down. I fall back a little bit. Me being the age that I am and being a mature woman, I tell myself, you have to confront this. You have to talk about this because I'm a thinker. Things will get to the point, my thoughts will plague me over and over and over again if I don't open up and I don't express that to them. But what I do tell myself, expect the worst reaction just in case. It's a defense mechanism. So it won't be such a shock to my system if what I say is not received well or rejected. It won't tear me down any more than what I've already torn myself down. So that's pretty much where it comes from. When I say that I don't recover well from people in their presence, that talks about me pulling away and shutting off a little bit. When I say I've received a lot of rejection in this life, that's the part of it not being received well and making me feel a certain kind of way with people. But the logical side in me, the sensible side in me says, wait a minute. You care about this person enough to where it actually did something to you and made you feel a certain kind of way. Because people that don't mean anything to me that I don't really know, I don't really care about, they don't affect that way. come on now, you know, there's a chance, there's a big chance that it will be received well. So go ahead, step up to the plate and let them know what's going on with your heart, you know. And yeah, that's pretty much, you know, and when I say I stumble around a bit at times in this life, I still haven't gotten everything right. I still make a lot of mistakes, you know, but I try to, I recognize when they are mistakes that I've made, and I try to make them right. You know, I do it. I start a do-over, and I try to make things right where I've made mistakes, and try to build from there. You know, and no, I have never been in a relationship. In my opening line says I've never known a relationship that's fought for and held together. I will fight for a relationship. Any relationship I've been in, I fight for. I have fought for, but my partner never did. I don't know if I was paying some kind of karmic debt from lifetimes ago, but every relationship I've been in, which was a choice, was toxic, but that's a whole nother animal, too, to open up to.
That activity when it comes to relationships is very hard, and it's like, yeah, we talk about the choices, but at the same time, it's like, you know, nevertheless, it still reflects, you know, you say to yourself, my damn, what am I doing wrong? How come I keep falling to this in this position? And it's like, and you try to, you know, at least from my standpoint, you try to do the right thing, try to do better, but it seems like it's just simply not enough, you know. So, but anywho, let me go ahead and get into this piece. You know, speaking about my father, his birthday was this, was in July the 2nd, a few weeks ago, and this is short piece, so don't be said that you're the only person, you're not the only one who does short pieces. You know, I'm you can call me King Shorty too.
all right, Rob, the mic is yours.
Yeah, so this is for dedicated for Dad. Pipe smoke, bass strings wail during nighttime, rock me to sleep. His practice session was my lullaby, classical, jazz, all-encompassing musical genius in training. Teaching music, coming home, cooking that bomb-ass chili recipe, a dash of sugar, a dash of tomato, ground beef, red beans, preparing me for my school's weekly spelling bee. Persona, stoic, stone-faced, son of Leroy and Josephine. He could be quite mean, temperamental, using the belt and the bar of soap, washing my mouth out if I cussed. A patriarch who didn't play was James Evans before James Evans became a household name. Rhythmic sweat, rehearsal of gigs, daddy played that bass. A master's degree at SF State, but still struggled, kept the hustle for my brother and me. Didn't laugh too much unless it was Richard Pryor or Red Fox. Yelling, boy, go to bed, it's 9 o'clock. Father, son time, took me to my first R-rated movie when I was 5, Blazing Saddles. Sex and life lectures, yelling sessions and spanking when I was out of line. Cancer cut short his time, returning to the spiritual realm in his 44th year and my 20th, gone too soon. But I speak to him, I become him, the image, the narrative, immersed in his being. I feel the power of his presence, we become one, father spin in the essence of manhood to his son. And that's that piece.
Wow. I dig that. I lost my father when I was 5. And I think that's why a lot of things went the way that they went. I sometimes say to myself, I wish I had my daddy. But that was nice to have a parent to actually share in those first things with you, to take you to them, to introduce you to them. That was pretty decent. I didn't have that kind of relationship. I don't know really what to say about having that kind of person in my life. But I can imagine that it was a beautiful thing growing up with both parents and to have the male figure in your life to be attentive like that. That was a really, really nice piece. Really nice. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. Once again, the telephone number to call is 319-527-6300. Please press 1. We only have one caller in the queue, so I'm hoping that some of y'all will come through and represent and share your testimony and express yourself. So, but anyway, we're going to go to that one particular caller, and who is up on the mic, LaPera?
We got Joe, the Verbal Mind Dancer. Hey, Joe, welcome to Poetic Therapy. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, LaPrella Negra. How y'all feeling this evening?
All right, all right. Right. How's the weather?
Right now we got a storm brewing, but it's been hot all day, but, you know, got a little breeze coming. It looks like a storm about to pop off, but it's nice. You know, I love the heat, so, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, well, you would love it over on this side because it's still close to 100 over here right now, but there's ain't no breeze. Any breeze
yeah,
that
like
comes by, I feel like somebody just walked past you real fast. That's it.
Yeah, I like it when it's like that, too. So, you know, win-win situation for me. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
I like that. What's going on,
okay,
Rob? J-Port, how you feeling, brother?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing? Well, obviously, you know, I know how you doing, man, but thank you for coming through, brother. So let me get to the question. So how did your fans, since you're an OG, I got to say it, for real, you're the OG of the poetry, the poetry family on Blog Talk and on Talk Q. So tell me the question, my brother, how does your connection with your family, being the patriarch, affect your writing?
Oh, tremendously, tremendously. You know, I got little grandkids running around with that grandteens running around. But, I hear stories about, you know, how their school day was and all that. I mean, it just, you know, it's so much material just with them two. So, you know, family, you know, creates a lot of my prose, actually.
Okay.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it just it does have that impact and stuff. So yeah, it's great. Actually, can you elaborate on that? Because yeah, we got another caller in queue, but they haven't raised their hand. So you know, got any more insight on our relationship, the family relationship with poetry?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, nieces and nephews. You know, sometimes my nieces come to me with some, you know, issues and, you know, talk about their husbands or whatever, you know, I give them a little advice like that. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I said, there's a poem in there. You know, that's a poem in there. You know, I'm always looking for something to write to or write about. And family just, it's just like, a walk in pick and choose, so to speak. You know, there's so much poetry you can write about that, you know, from childhood, remembering their childhood, things they did, you know, things that, you know, we did ourselves, you know, coming up. So, you know, definitely a lot of my stuff is based around family. But it's just so much material. I mean, if you're a writer, you want to express some things. A lot of times you can't say it to your family, but you can put out, you know, you can put it in a poem. You know, you ain't calling nobody out or anything like that, but, you know, you can express that feeling. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what you got to say, you know, it's not good. You know, it's going to create problems or issues or arguments like that. But, you know, you put those things in a poem and, you know, you get rid of that. You get rid of all that angst right there on the paper. So, yeah, family is quite important when doing poetry, at least for me anyway.
Okay. Let me ask the question, Joe. What would you say the majority of your poetry is centered around?
So personal experience and just, you know, observing nature, observing life in general. political fair, all that sort of thing. Just observing life. That's where I get most of my poetry from.
Okay.
Not so much, you know, family's a part of, but I mean, just, you know, the world in total, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know,
awesome.
Being alone, though, you know, I'm more of an observant person than a participant of life. So mm-hmm. it's easy for me to gather a lot of material.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I like that. Okay. That's awesome. All right. Well, anything else you want to ask him, Ron? Or shall we just go ahead and let him get into his magnificence, his teeth?
Yeah, and it's one thing about Joe LaRoe and Mind Ass. He always has some significant poems. I will say, brother, the last time you was on the show, you spit this, you know, we talk about erotica, and also, you know, in terms of the genres erotica and consciousness. And what you, the last time you was on the therapy and La Pearl, you was doing your shenanigans at the party. But the resident, I think you definitely missed the bomb ass piece that he did. Can you do that piece again, please?
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Give me one second, I'll put it up for you, man. Yeah, I definitely remember that piece, man. It was called Mixed Messages, I believe.
Yeah,
here we go. Yeah. I got it for you.
All right. The mic is yours.
Mixed Messages. It's the 4th of July, and I'm thinking September. August is too hot, making my skin feel like embers. A fourth of fools lie. Give me pause to remember. 3/4 of the time, we were treated like criminals. Between these lines are a ton of subliminals. In my mind, in these times, there are no righteous individuals. I have to be honest here. I really appreciate porn. I drift sometimes from my freedom state of mind to get off quick and return to my norm. Fast forward the blowjob, I don't need to see a whole slob. Get me to the place where that ass is shaped like a whole heart. But the heart of the matter is, who matters? We vote for people who just chatter. When we're up to the plate to state our case, we swing without a fucking batter swing. What care is this who sits and does nothing? But hairs you split and can't figure out one thing. I was thinking how my life's been so mundane. I'll call her over so we can do that fun thing. Basically, I was just thinking about coming. I mix some drinks, just singing and humming. The bell's ringing, I say, hey, baby, we'll come in. What's cracking? What's popping? Let's get this shit in. Now I'm drifting again to political woes. I'm going to jail if I knock up this hoe. I've been rocking a sock for so fucking long. I'm going to lie like a Republican on Fox in the morning. But foxes be snoring after intimately using them. Unless you're just boring now, that ain't no confusion there. In my eclectic mind experiencing, is my eclectic mind experiencing delusions there? Then place your body to the window and I'll bring up the rear. You left foreplay at the doorway. I'm not serving you to have it your way. Bring two toys and enjoy this impromptu four-way. So is no way getting into this whole UN thing? I believe in Sweden, but does Amsterdam still swing? I'm going off on a tangent, but my math doesn't add up. My domain of cosine in a right angle triangle. Turn around and sip the remnants from my dangle. While I'm semi-political, I will focus on clitoral. Stimulation is key, and I'm being quite literal. There's a huge difference between being conservative or liberal. Free your mind, and in time, I will part your lips for you. In the mean of my scene, spread your hips while I'm kissing you. No dismissals or acquittals, just some lube and no spittle. I'm a hungry man, and my plan is to eat you like victuals. Is the 4th of July just a reminder who's still killing you? In the back of my mind, I'm still focused on thrilling you. Hocus pocus, while the SCOTUS takes your wheel, now they're stripping you. You had the right last night, but tomorrow you're stuck. Just when we're about to have a friendly fuck. I was listening to the news, and I heard say what? I got my mind ate up. I got my mind made up, and you don't get it anytime. Enjoy this moment before fucking is a crime. There's a sailor down your throat, and he found your fallopian. This new world order seems very dystopian. Suicide on the rise with this bull that we're coping with. No wonder Big Pharma gets away with that oxy shit. Now, them motherfuckers got balls. Well, let's just say they got moxie. Shit. White-collar criminals in every city hall. Not even subliminal as they rewrite the laws. They're making changes to arrangers for a firing squad. Mixed messages are vestiges like that Fifth Avenue call. The 4th of fools lies with that red, white, and blue shit. The Constitution lies with that we equal you shit. Two flags still fly. Who won? That's some true shit. Confederate minds still ruling with that cruel shit. As we lay here face to face, let's get back to me and you. Shit. Where's the Y to the 1? I want to try out some new shit. Nights like this in our bliss, many babies were spawned. Now that's a mini response. Would you rather I pause? I told you before, I was getting them draws. Like a milkshake to a straw, your jaws are deflated. Before you came over, I would have simply masturbated. Let's not go back in time where the master dictated the ways of the slave are so biblically predicated. Religiously educated men still fuck. No matter what the gender, they still say, what's up? The sensual mind is inertly corrupt. No more changes for this vibrating brain, time's up. A coke was a source of abortion fizzed up. In conclusion, our collusion was an illusion with fluff. The right to bear arms is the right to do harm. And that right they won't fuck with showing up. Mixed messaging being a message we're receiving. They can do what they want to us without grieving. How many more times can they commit the crime and leaving us cold and dead and not breathing? Boom.
Yo, I love your play on words.
Thank you, love.
You know what? It seems like it just comes so easy for you with the next line and the next line and the next line. I wish I did know how to. I mean, I can rhyme a few things, but throughout the whole, to make a whole piece that is in sync with each word is right in sync like that, and to end it with a word that sounds similar to the one before, that takes a special skill. According to me, it does. And I think the piece is dope. Well, damn, shit. You got the, yeah, okay. Well, guess what? You going to bring up Nasty for the erotic love sound because you did that just now. I liked it. I liked it a lot. That's what's up. Rob?
Hold on. They're going to give me a little backstory about how, not that how the poem came up, but my style a little bit. Now, see, a lot of these young cats, you know, they was rocking with Nipsey Hussle.
Mm-hmm.
But I was born around the original Nipsey Russell.
Right.
He got us, that's what he did, you know, man. That was his thing. I know you know Rob. I know you know, bro.
I know. Oh yeah, I know Nipsey Hussle. I mean, Nipsey was.
Yeah, he was one of the original, off the dome type brothers.
Yeah, he was a rhymer back in the town. Definitely.
That was his thing. Yeah, that's what everybody had him on the show the way he did.
Yeah, he did a lot. He was a comedian, but he did a lot of his poetry. He did a lot of his appearance, a lot of the $25,000 pyramid and other shows. So that's what made him so famous. But yeah, he was a rhymer. He was a rhyme scam, and he was damn good at it too, man. But going back, and that's the reason why I wanted you to do that poem, man, because Steve, you missed the elements of consciousness and erotica, in which, you know, I have to say, you know, on a side note, well, actually, we'll talk about it later, but as I want to, this may gear towards you, LaPearl, but go back to the to the clitoral part. That Chloe gave me.
Yeah.
That's your
phone. All right, let me see if I can find that. All right, here we go. Here we go. My domain of cosine and a right angle triangle. Turn around and sip the remnants from my dangle. When I send my political, I will focus on clitoral. Stimulation is key, and I'm being quite literal.
That's what I'm talking about, bro. That's what I'm talking about, man. So, anyway, so go ahead, brother. And I really appreciate you coming through, man. But, since we're a little bit short-winded today, we're definitely going to bring you back and we'll, you know, do a little more vibing. But tell where everybody can reach you at, man.
You know, I'm here and there. I've been, you know, popping in and out of Clubhouse here and there lately and shit like that. But, you know, I'm just here, man, here in the house, just chilling, working in the garden and eating and shit like that.
All right.
Well, we're going to send you over there to the therapist's office for a minute if you got anything on your mind you need to release. And, you know, grab yourself a glass of wine and choose a recliner, okay? And, yeah, we'll bring you back in a little bit. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
All right, Rob, I think I'm going to do a station identification break real quick.
Okay.
Listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Poetic Therapy. I'm your host, LaPearl Negra, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Rob the Djembe Poet, Morrow. Now, the dial-in number, for those of you that are streaming online and would like to join in and participate, is 319-527-6300. And please, to engage us, press that one and join us. We love you too. Rob, it looks like we got another caller in here. So let's open up this phone line. We got an area code 213. Welcome to Poetic Therapy. Who do we have on the line? Area code 213.
Oh, my bad.
Are you muted?
Kevin Smith.
Who is it?
Yeah, I'm unmuted. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
We can hear you
now.
Yeah,
we can
hear
you.
Where are we going
to be? My name is Kevin Smith.
Well, welcome to Poetic Therapy, Kevin. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm cool. Yeah, I got the invite from my people, Rob.
Okay, awesome.
So what's going on, my brother? So tell me, you know, I'm not good with names and memory, but tell me where we met before, I take it, right?
Yeah, no doubt, like, through other people. Like, you know, I got the invite, you know, through other people, like, you know, Kimbrella, Keith, Taraji.
Right.
Other people like, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Okay. Well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you, man. So tell me, so let me ask the question. How does your poetry affect your connection with your family?
Like, affect my connection? Nah, like, I guess it's a unique, like, it's a disconnect, like, really, because... they don't really know how to do it. if that's like makes any sense, like I don't know. It just feel like they like think that things like this in the entertainment realm come from like some type of fairy. So like when you say you do it, or some magic realm, like this stuff just magically appear. Like when you say you do it, they ain't really supportive. And no disrespect to them, you know, they could do what they do. But, you know, my biggest supporters are people that don't really know how to get down.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's no disrespect to them. I still love them. They're still my family and stuff like that, though. But, you know, I just do the poetry because I like doing it, point blank, period. Not for no kind of... no, nothing else. Like, I love doing it. That's it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you what I asked the other poet that was in here. What would you say is a major influence on your poetry in life?
My process is different. It's just like... to write, I don't like sit down and constructively write. It's just like something that just be bugging me, and then I just sit down and just write something and get it over with. It's nothing that I'm trying to make anything come out of it. It's just something that just, you know, that be irking me, and a story I got to tell, and I just tell a little story real quick.
Okay. Well, okay. So just things that would you say they affect you emotionally, mentally? That brings you to light?
I guess you would like, yeah, all of the above, anything that's just really like bugging me. I might see something on TV and I want to write something down real quick, or something like one of the other ones, I was in the middle of my sleep, and it woke me up. Then I just jotted something down real quick and then went right back to sleep. So like, it just... like something like that, though. I guess you could say it's all of the above, mentally, emotionally, physically.
Okay. So you don't have a particular thing that you write about. Like for me, I write a lot of love poetry and some erotic poetry. I'm not too big on writing conscious pieces about the state of the world right now, the way it's been and what's been going on. What do you have a particular area that you like to write in all the time, or it's whatever? It is what it is.
It is what it is. I know that sounds simple, but it just is what it is. Like, you know, like I respect everybody's like niche that y'all fit in, and I wish I had a niche, and I say that to a lot of poets, like, I wish I had a niche that I could, that I fit in. It's just something that I enjoy doing, not saying that I'm good at it or anything like that. It's just something that I enjoy doing, and like, people play basketball, people, you know, go swimming, you know, I go poetry, you know what I'm saying, and then I do something else, like, I might go poetry, and then I might do something else, right? So, like,
okay.
It's just, like, something that I can just kick back and do.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair enough. Okay. Well, we'd like to know, what did you bring for us to listen to tonight?
I got something real short that I wanted to do real quick. It's untitled. Mm-hmm. Don't have a title.
All right. Well, the mic is yours.
All right. What a mystery is life and the baggage that we've been cursed to inherit. Traveling into this dimension as children, surrendered mentally to distant siblings on bended knees, at an altar prostrated before a God of his creation. Propagandized, we accept irony as a normality in my reality to be submerged by the water of misinformation. Consumed like so many displaced by slavery before me. Born free but conditioned to accept inequity in regards to the journey that produced me, my human experience seems to be lacking some sort of justice, which makes it hard for me to visualize my inner peace. Outwardly, we seek the roots of history as fruits dangling haphazardly from a strange tree. If strange men devise plans to erase my sense of self and replace it with a story of lack and desperation, a Greek tragedy of his own creation, in kind, if people decline to question the facts and its validity, does it make this tragedy a truth and my destiny or just his story? In peace.
Wow. That was on the conscious side. What's been going on here? Wow, I really, really like that. What prompted you to write that? What inspired you to write that?
Because I just go poetry, and then, you know, people, like, look at people that look like me, and then they defy some sort of understanding or misunderstanding of what a person is based upon what they see. And when you open the history books, you can see these stories that tell where we come from and what we've been through. But when we sit down with our grandmothers and grandfathers, and they're not telling us stories, or the same stories that we see in these books, they're telling us something different. So that's what really just, like, are they telling us something different or nothing at all? And that's what really, you know, sparked this. And it's just like the stories that people are telling me that I see on the computer when I Google, they ain't really who I am or defines or who I am as a person. But these are the stories that my daughter and her friends understand who we are as people. So basically what I'm trying to get with this piece is to spark conversation in the way that we're sitting down and we're telling our people, no matter how our kids, our offspring, no matter how embarrassed we are of what we've done in our past, we're just passing down the story so they know where we came from and they know who we are. So they'll know where they want to go, basically.
Absolutely, that's dope. That is okay. I agree with that. Wow, Rob, did you catch that?
Yeah, that was, you know, very phenomenal, brother, and really speaks on the institute of what's going on currently. And yeah, it was a very good piece, but it packs a wallop, and you know, it also, I would say, Kevin, it should make the Pearl feel a little comfortable, because she's worried about being read writing short pieces, but sometimes short pieces are the bomb.
See, you gotta throw me under the bus. You just wait till the show is over. Pay him no mind, Kevin. He can't help it. He got to pick with me. He can't help it.
It's all good. I got long pieces, but you know, when we doing the thing, when you try to turn the page, being professional, there's like people you talk to, and they be like, "Oh, people got short attention span," and the majority of people got short attention span. So I'm with Rob on this one with the short pieces. Sometimes the shortest pieces speak more volume than the longer pieces. So.
Yeah,
I've been.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've definitely been told that a lot about my pieces. They don't, I don't have a whole lot of words in it, but what I do say, a little bit that I do say, says a whole lot. So I don't really think it matters as far as the length of the piece, unless it's just, you know, wherever you are, they want you to consume a lot of time. Other than that, you don't really have to say a whole lot of words in order to get your point across or to make a point or a statement to help people understand what's going on at that point in time with your piece. So, and your piece was dope. I hope you don't become a stranger to calling into Epiphany period, because we have a show every day of the week on here. Pretty much the same time, except for Friday nights, the shows are aired at 10. But it'll always be a mic here waiting for you. And I really appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Rob, for bringing him in. What we're going to do now is send you over to the therapist's office and grab yourself a glass of wine and a recliner, sit back, put your feet up. All right?
Yeah. Go down. Appreciate it.
Thank you. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Brother Kevin Smith representing, coming through. And once again, the telephone number to call is 319-527-6300. Coming up next, La Pearl, this sister had her hand raised, but your call dropped on, so I'm going to go ahead and bring her in. And let me know if I got the name correctly, or you can go ahead and bring her in. Bring her in, La Pearl.
Oh, yeah, this is my diva, T. Lachelle. How you doing tonight, diva? Welcome to Poetic Therapy. What's going on with you?
Hey,
hello, love. How are you tonight?
Good.
Yeah, we usually Miss Lachelle, we like hanging in the background. We know she there, but she ain't making a whole lot of noise, you know. But we know she there, so this is a treat, you know. And she's a dope poet.
But since you know how the Blog Talk lady do me, she kicked me out every once in a while, and I have to sit there and be like, okay, Lord, please don't let me beat the Blog Talk lady up. I'm trying my best.
Yeah, I know. She's just
I pray for patience because, like, you know, I can't pray for strength in this moment.
I know you've been listening even before she kicked you off. So the question is, oh, Lord, I don't forgot the question. Rob, you
how does the issues in your family, or issues, how does your family relationship affect your writing?
Oh, Lord. Okay. I've had like issues with my family like over the years because I feel like I don't belong, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm an outsider inside my family. And so it's like the differences that I have, they don't see eye to eye with. And it took like in recent years for me to embrace my my uniqueness, my personal authenticity, you know, and my individuality, to love me and understand that, you know they love me, but they can't feed me the way I need to be fed. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to my writing, yeah, I'll write out, you know, some of the things just to get it off of me, because I don't want to be that person to be combative or anything like that. I'm evolving beyond that now.
Mm-hmm.
But so I just let my pen my pen and my pages be my therapist, you know what I'm saying? And just, you know, ride it out. And then even then, if you're getting paid, you don't get it. Sometimes you actually got to go get a therapist.
Absolutely.
I've been on that journey
Absolutely.
As well.
Oh, yeah, so. I get it. That part you're saying about, you know, it's almost like you don't feel like you fit in. I grew up in a family where it never felt like home, so I understand what you're saying. Believe me.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Right. To be in a large family and no one supports you, that's kind of hard. And
yeah, it is.
And they don't understand.
Do wind up.
And it's like,
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
That? No, it's crazy because it's like you constantly try to love, embrace, and understand that they have their differences as well. So you embrace the differences, but you still have to contend with your own. And you feel like, you know, an outsider, and that it sometimes is lonely. It is what it is, but in those moments, it's like you have to be like, okay, I was meant to stand out because I'm supposed to be outstanding.
That's
and that's
right.
how I embraced it.
That's right. You have to, when you have no choice but to find out who you are, on your own, when you grow up in a family like that and you feel like you don't fit, at least for me, that's how it was. And, yeah, you have to tell yourself, you come to that conclusion, you tell yourself you weren't meant to fit. You were meant to shine. You were meant to stand out. You weren't meant to be completely understood by them because a lot of my family members didn't go with their own mind. It's almost like they couldn't make a decision on their own. They had to, you know, follow suit, so to speak. When the matriarch spoke, everybody sat up and listened, and whatever direction she said go in, that's the direction they went in. I was always that, like that show on, what was it, on Sesame Street. I hate to bring that name up right now. Y'all know what's going on
right.
with that. Where, or was it the electric factory, electric company, one of these kids is doing their own thing, one of these kids is not the same. That was me. I was
right.
a kid, you know.
Right.
But it was a chain of events that led to me developing that kind of personality, you know.
Right.
And that was deep. I understand exactly what you were saying. So thank you for that. Hey, I miss you, Diva. I really do. Hearing your voice anyway. You know, your presence is always felt, but your voice is, you know, it's back here somewhere. But we got a chance to hear it tonight, so I'm grateful.
Right. You know, sometimes when I'm in those moments, like when I can't even write, I'll sing. Because, Danielle, you know, well enough that, you know, I don't know if you know, but I sing to calm down, to get rid of the nerves and stuff like that.
Oh,
because
okay.
it comes second nature to me.
A beautiful way of doing it. Girl.
Yeah. But when I would get in my family and stuff like through burning tears, I was at the end of, you know, be crying and singing, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And the fact that I had to own that, I had to own that song and make it my own in those moments, you know what I'm saying, in order for me to make it new. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it helped me to evolve a little bit at a time. Does it still hurt? Absolutely. But I'm better at it, at dealing with the pain now.
Awesome. That, you know, that your voice is therapeutic. And to have been blessed with the gift of song like that, with a voice like that, and not only I'm going to say not only does it help you, but for those of us that are soothed by it, it's therapeutic for us as well. And I'm grateful for you. So thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Now, the treat we've really been waiting for is your poetry, okay? Because I know how dope you are. So what did you bring for us to listen to tonight?
Yes,
okay,
bring
well.
It.
So I have this poem. I couldn't think of a title, so I just simply named it the date that I wrote it. And so it's February 16th, 2021. And
it goes a little something like this.
Whenever you're ready.
The mic is yours.
The thing that terrifies me more than love is the monster that I'm told never existed, when I know it does. It is a cold-blooded and calculated murderer, lingering in every crack and crevice, never waiting to instantly go into the attack. At first breath, first blood, every second is another death. At moment, it is slow-dripped molasses. In others, it's rapid, moving at the speed of light. And like the predator it is, bringing life out of its prey. Yet everyone, and I do mean everyone, begs for more, but I've fallen victim at its hand, lurking in the daylight, in mellow minutes of slumber, in moments in between. It's a monster, and its breath I feel near. Poem.
Wow. Wow.
So it's kind of a riddle.
But it's deep. It's deep. I think I get it. But wow. But you can give us a little bit more. You can elaborate on the meaning behind it if you want to. But I think I get it, but I'm not quite sure. I don't know, I like what I heard.
I would like to
know. Wow. You broke up a little bit. Say again.
I said I would like to see if you can guess it.
It sounds like something internal that you were dealing with that maybe you had to keep at bay. I'm not sure. Am I headed in the right direction?
Not quite.
Okay, well, you elaborate on it for us, Sam.
Okay. All right. There's a line that says, I'm told it never existed, when I know it does. It's a cold and calculated murderer. It instantly goes in for the attack at first breath. Moving at the speed of light, and sometimes it's slow drip molasses. Every second is another death. What are your thoughts now?
Wow, you're right. Every second,
every second is another death.
There's another breath.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. Okay. And the funny thing is, like, everyone begs for more, but they've fallen victim at its hand. How about the hands of time? We're told that time doesn't exist. But as soon as you take your first breath, time starts going against you.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And I said, that terrifies me more than love. That terrifies me more than love. Because it's like...
Why?
Hmm?
Why?
Is that?
It terrifies me more than love, because for those fights that you have, and, you know, one day you have the fight, and then the next day you find out somebody passed away, you don't know how much time you have to set things right. You sit there and cherish, like, the lives of the people in your life, and you just pray and beg for more time, especially when they're at the brink of their end. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. When they're looking mortality directly in the face. And it stings like a motherfucker.
That's true. It does.
Okay, because I know we share an experience. That a lot of people may have not shared, you know, where we're looking at the fact that we can't get that time back. We can't fix it.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's why it terrifies me more than love.
Don't be afraid. I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid, because it's our flesh that expires. It's not our spirit. It's not our energy. And, you know, if you know the laws of nature, energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be transformed and transferred. So we always will be. We always have been, and we always will be. We may not remember, but we always will be. So it's just a transformation. And it's for you to just, you know, every day, every breath you take, you treat it precious. And you appreciate it, and you love it, and you enjoy it. Don't sit back, because everything that we long for, everything that we want, is right on the other side of fear.
Right. And that's why, and it's funny, because, you know, I'm sharing this piece, and your question is, like, spot on, which is why I decided to extend grace to my family when they don't extend it to me, because we don't know how much time we have here on this earth to say the things that we need to say.
Right. Yeah. We don't. But it's not for us to. How much time we have left is really, it's nature is in control. So it's not for us to dwell on. It's for us to continue to experience life. That's what we're here for, to experience life. For however long time we're given, we are here to experience it, and not focus on when it's going to come to an end and we're going to enter into another realm. Don't worry, girl. It's going to be all right. I promise you. It's going to be fine.
Okay.
But I love the piece.
Everything is reflected on how you handle time. And it's not an enemy. It is your ally as you utilize it wisely and not kid yourself. Let it flow.
Right.
It's all good.
Right. Thank you so much for that advice, because I need it.
Oh, girl, you already know. You already know what it is. My inbox is always open. Yeah. And if it gets that serious, I got a phone number. I got a number. You can reach me at honey anytime. But thank you, darling. Wait,
Wendy Williams and Lily Tomlin. So.
Whatever you say, Jordan, whatever you say. But before we let you escape, girl, you need to let everybody know how they can get in contact with you and what you got going on in your world, because it's not just the world of poetry, honey. You do graphic arts design and all kinds of good stuff, man. Great promoter. Y'all just don't know. This lady right here, she got it going on with a lot of things. So why don't you let folks know what's going on?
Right. Well, here's the deal. Everybody can reach me on Instagram, Facebook, my Linktree under Tea LaShell, and I'm here for everybody. Right now, I'm currently in school, so that's why I keep working. But I'm almost And I'm also on Clubhouse now, helping and participating there as well. But we'll be working on an anthology here pretty soon and got a lot of stuff going on, but I will still keep bringing promotions and stuff like that. And I'm going to make sure I schedule them so everybody can get all of it, all of this smoke, all of this smoke.
Yes, we want it all. We want it all. Yes. Oh, man.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead, baby.
You can reach me. Okay, you can reach me on my Linktree, and it directs you to everywhere I'm at, either Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. It is linktr.ee/ T. Lachelle 76, and everything about me is there, even partners that I work with. So you'll find your Mr. Metaphorias, and you get some other folks and whatnot. So yeah.
What's up? Thank you so much, Trey. And you know, it's always a mic here waiting for you. We always waiting to hear from you. But I'm going to send you on over there to the therapist's office so you can finish relieving some mental stress. Grab yourself a glass of wine and a recliner. Sit back, put your feet up. Take your socks off. Baby. One love, one mic.
All right. Appreciate you coming through. And, yeah, one love, one mic.
I'm going to do another station identifier, okay, real quick.
Yeah, that'll work. Well, let's do a music break. Oh, never mind.
Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
On the road. gold. I got the back. At the end of the day, we could go our separate ways, but the song remains and won't change. Got my target locked in range. I might switch gears, but first I switch lanes. Without my people, I got nothing to gain. That's why.
First come the worst, so my peoples come first. Special victims unit, catalyst for movement. Creates a devastation since 84, show improvement. Definitely dilated, peoples come first. Cross trainers fall, we raise the ball, and we put it in your ear no matter who you are.
Yeah. We are just a little over 15 minutes until we go to the archives. So if you're on listening online, please give a call, 319-527-6300, and get some of this therapy. And this is Love Therapy, Epiphany Radio, the Real Entertainment Network. I'm Rob the Djembe Poet, along with Pearl La Negra. So, sister, you ready for the next caller?
Yes, we are. And we got our... I believe her name is Ashton Cynthia Clark. Welcome to Poetic Therapy.
Yes, thank you. That's absolutely correct, Ashton Cynthia Clark. How are you, Pearl?
I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Now I'm talking to my co-host.
Yes. I met this sister at a poetry reading online, Rap Salon, and that sister's very phenomenal, and she does a lot of things in the community, the poetry community here in California. So I take it if she got the invitation accepted, now she's here, and I'm thankful.
Thank you so much, Rob, and I'm thankful that you played Angela Bofill at the beginning of the show. Oh, my gosh, I haven't heard her in so long.
Oh, yeah, that's my girl right there. I love some Angela Bofill. That song by her, Under the Moon and Over the Sky, is actually my favorite song by her.
Wow. Yeah, it's a beautiful one.
Wow. So let me go ahead and ask you the question, Ashton. How does your relationship with your family affect your writing?
Well, that's such a great question, and that's why I decided to call in today when I saw what your topic was. Both of my parents are no longer with us on this plane, but I had the privilege of being with my father for several months as he was going through an illness which took his life. And I did some writing about that soon afterwards. But after that, I started recalling more of the things that were points of anguish between us, and writing about that. And that particular relationship has filtered into some of the stories that I wouldn't have expected it to filter into, as well as producing stories where I'm writing specifically about him and this has been going on for a couple of months now. So I would have to say my relationship with my dad in particular has generated a lot of stories that I wouldn't have expected to come out. And I do write true personal stories, by the way, not really poetry, although I've been hanging out with you poets more online, and it's, I think, elevated my own writing. So I want to give you guys props. I really enjoy listening to and studying poetry more than I ever have.
That's beautiful. We definitely appreciate that. And it's kind of funny because yesterday, last night on the show, Ella Pearl was hosting as well. They were talking about accountability, inspiration, and I guess it's pretty much what you just described reflects on that topic last night. And stuff that we hold it down before each one of us and stuff. And I think if we are able to utilize what we do to elevate your writing, then we've definitely done our job. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So what you got for us? Because I know you got something.
Well, I do, and you know, if you're inviting me, knowing that it's not going to be a poem, it's one of my short, like, flash pieces, and short for me is about 3 minutes. So I want to let you know that, you know, because I don't want to take up, you know, all the time. But if you're okay with that, I would love to read this.
If you've been listening to the show, you know, we're talking about shorties. So, LaPearl, you got to love a shorty. Let's do it.
It's okay. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Thank you. This piece is called The Season of the Doll. My father's breathing wheezed shallow and weary when he returned from work that evening. He spotted a hat, as usual, no matter what the weather. This one was straw, light blue, with a yellow band stained from New York City summer sweat. The once crispy white shirt and dark blue pants that Mommy had meticulously ironed came home wrinkled, the pants with fine dusting of white. Sugar. From the bakery, an automat, Daddy's second job, that always gifted him a sack of donuts for us. But tonight, his large hand clutched something else. My now filthy and battered, Talking Tina, Twilight Zone of a doll, a present once sent to me from one of Daddy's work friends. Someone on the street, my father claimed, had spotted me on the 17th floor, dashing something out of our living room window, rescuing the thing from the nasty pavement. They just happened to see my father and ratted on me. The doll's cracked skull and horribly bulging one eye convicted me. Why? I imagined it pleading, but that Caribbean-accented accusatory word came from my father. The usual chitter-chatter of our pet parakeet suddenly seemed more urgent. The bird never ceased being startled by my father's gruff, loud voice and squeaky, rubber-soled footsteps against the linoleum floor. You're just Butterfingers, parakeet squawked in my head. You're not evil. You're only 7 years old. You should defend yourself. It was an accident. I was holding her and pretending she was waving out the window. She slipped out of my hands. I'm sorry. But, you know, defiance gripped my tongue and wouldn't let loose the words. My father never gave spur-of-the-moment gifts, ever. Why was this first one a creepy doll? Its shiny, bouncy waves made me hate my own stiff, woolly braids. And even when new, there was something not right about the head, swollen, like my ankle when I twisted it after taking the dare to leap from the brick wall surrounding our playground. I was not a baby doll kind of girl. They scared me, in fact. But Daddy was always working, never around enough to know. And besides, who was this mysterious lady from work who gave him the doll for me in the first place. Did it have anything to do with the way my mother jerked away from Daddy's touch? 2 months later, oven-like temperatures tortured us all during the closing weeks of summer. Fans blowing full speed and wide-open windows created gusts of hot air, but did nothing to ease the suffocating humidity in our apartment. I had been careening from room to room, crying, snotting, but couldn't find my bird friend anywhere. Shaken but fighting back tears under Daddy's unblinking glare, I stood accused again. What did you do with the parakeet, Cynthia? End of story.
Wow, I'm sorry. I was trying to find my mute button. That was, wow. That's a pretty strong story. A little girl to be dealing with. What was the significance of the broken doll?
You know, Pearl, it's strange because to this day I would swear that the doll just fell. I was hanging her out the window and pretending she was waving and she just slipped. But part of me wonders, did I just deliberately let her fall? The doll was a gift from some lady at my father's job, and I had been noticing that my father and mother were not only not affectionate, which they never were, but my mother was yanking away from him. And, you know, I know my 8-year-old mind, I just wondered if there was something going on, and maybe this lady who gave me the stupid doll was involved. That was one thing. And, you know, my father immediately thought I had deliberately thrown the doll out. And what was weird was that somebody down on the street, we lived in a high rise, and someone just found that doll and just happened to see my father. It was like the Twilight Zone. It was like
wow.
A Twilight Zone thing. And then a few months later, the parakeet turned up missing. It was our first and only pet. And my father thought I had done something to the parakeet, probably
wow.
Because of the doll incident. The parakeet was found. She was hiding, you know, but
mm-hmm.
he just knew I had killed that bird. It was, oh, God. Just thinking about it now, I just want to cry.
Oh, wow.
Man, that really is a really good story. You know, pretty dark, but it's like, you know, especially to be a part of not being affectionate. It's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's your family. You're together, but you're not necessarily in love. You know what I'm saying? And that encompasses the attitude and the atmosphere where, well, you know, the situation with the doll and the parakeet, you figure, okay, what's going on? What happened? Ultimately, we'll find it or, you know, whatever, where it is and stuff. And, but I don't know. This is really, you know. But thank you for sharing that. Wow. Very strong. And I'm glad you called.
Thank you for giving me a chance to read it.
That was pretty decent. Pretty dope story to share from so long ago, and I appreciate that. We're grateful for you coming on here, and I hope that you don't become a stranger to calling into Epiphany.
Thank you,
and there will always be a mic waiting here for you, but for now, is there anything you want to tell the audience, how they can find you, what you got going on in the world of poetry?
Thank you. I'm on Facebook or Instagram. Just look for my whole name, Ashton Cynthia Clark. I'm actually going to be doing an open mic with a bunch of poets again tomorrow in Pasadena at a place called My Place Cafe through Spectrum Publishing, which will be publishing one of my short stories. It's coming out at the end of the month, so I'll let you guys know about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, please.
You know, let me know about because you have a lot going on. Because you've been since you came on Raptor Alarm, yeah, you've been doing things left and right, all over the places. So I'm looking forward to seeing more things, there. Hopefully, I can be a part of it. But thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Rob, and thank you, Pearl. And I'm ready for my wine, so you can dismiss me to the therapy room.
That's right. Go on over there to the therapist's office, grab yourself a glass of wine and a recliner. Sit back, put your feet up, take your socks off. Baby, baby. Okay. One love,
bye-bye.
One mic.
Bye-bye.
One love, one mic. All right.
One love, one mic.
Wow. She was pretty awesome, Rob. Well, we're going to open up this next mic to our Canadian connection, my Deepa, Lady A. How you doing, Deepa?
Lady.
Welcome to Poetic Therapy.
Hey, how are you? Good to be here. Wow, some terrific poetry. I'm so impressed all the time with the poets that call in and share their minds and their hearts. It's always so moving. So interesting, and I just appreciate them all.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if you've been properly introduced to my co-host, Rob the DMJ, the Jumpay Poet. Mauro, this is Lady A, and she's a very good friend of mine as well, and an awesome poet.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
I
nice
heard
to
you.
Meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too, Queen. Appreciate you. Coming on, representing on the therapy, and I'm looking forward to your work.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I want to ask, because it is sweltering over here. This is not a dry heat. This is very, very humid, and it's very close to still 100 degrees, even though it's like almost 11 o'clock. What's the weather like over there in Canada?
We're in a heat wave as well, and I'm just going to bring up the temperature in Fahrenheit. Okay, let's see what it is. It's pretty hot here, too. Well, actually, it's not too bad. 72 degrees tonight in Fahrenheit. I spent the whole day in the water. The water was like a bathtub.
Wow. I can understand. And you know what? When it gets like this, I'm a fish anyway, so I love water anyway. That's my sign, Pisces. But my son, he asked me, how can you wash up in cold water? Honey, listen.
Oh.
Listen. Yes. I'm going to tell you something. When you are my age and you got rolls and creases and dips and rips and all kinds of stuff, trust me. And then I have my own personal summers going on. You appreciate the cold water in this kind of weather. Believe me.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I still prefer washing hot
water.
When
I take a shower, I shower and then I turn the cold water on and stand under it for as long as I like. It's just there's something about it. I hear you.
Yes. That water just running down on your body, man. And I love the rain. I love the summer rain. I like to walk in it and everything. But that is not what it's about tonight. I think my co-host call dropped, but I think he's back in. Are you back in with us, Rob?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
awesome. Yeah, I'm back on.
Okay, awesome. Well, here's a great question to ask you tonight, Deepa.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Question is, how does your relationship with your family affect your writing?
My relationship with my family, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Danielle, you know all about that.
Already told you.
Writing for me is cathartic. I have the words, that is how I survive whatever tragedy has happened in my life, whatever sorrow I have, whatever happiness I have, I write, and it helps to heal, and it helps to understand, and it also helps to know that you're not alone. So writing for me is is a big, big, big part of my life. Absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I know. I told my co-host in the beginning, I said this is a great question, but it may trigger some. Honey,
well, yeah, for sure. I picked a poem tonight because of the topic, and I guess this is where I started writing in earnest when this happened to me, and I haven't stopped since. It's in some way saved my life, and so I will just read this. It's called Words of Comfort.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. The phone rang. Her hateful voice shouted, "Bob's dead. He blew his head off." My brain imploded, tormented, plagued by anguish, weeping, wailing, paint on the walls peeling, an animal trapped, caged in grief, tortured. Why? Why? Haunting. I should have, could have, would have. My eternal song with the refrain, why? No logic, no answers, no note, no kindness, compassion, no goodbye. He is selfish, a coward, a quitter. They came quietly. What a shame. He was cruel to leave that way. He's gone to hell, they claim. If he loved you, he would have stayed. Each day more cold comfort came. Suicide still looked upon as sinful. No one saw through it to see his pain. The true cause of my love's death, he was not a coward, selfish, or callous. He died of an unseen disease, depression, a mental illness. Nothing others said was beneficial. My journey showed me the way. 3 long years until I knew I cope and survive each passing day. End poem.
You know what, Lady Ang? Every time you share part of that story with us, it touches me a little bit more because I can't fathom going through something like that. And I commend you for keeping your head up and going, even though you dealt with a tragedy like that. I think it's a beautiful part of your spirit that you can continue to talk about it. And I really, really do appreciate you continuing to share with us how you feel about it and what you went through. Thank you. That piece is beautiful.
Thank you so much. It took me a long time to figure things out. It took me a lot of crying, a lot of such deep grief. And today, and it's been many years since this took place, and today I don't have that excruciating pain, but the loss remains as great as it did at the beginning. And, yeah. And I hope that some of these words, if somebody else is listening, feeling like they're going to do something harmful to themselves, or if they've experienced someone that they've loved harm themselves and kill themselves, that they know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Absolutely. Bob?
Yes, indeed. That's a really good poem, and thank you for bearing yourself to the things that have going on in your life. And this is the reason why this show is here. It is therapy to reflect all the things going on in your life and giving you opportunity to heal and express yourself. And we're always going to be here. So thank you, Lady.
Thank you very much.
All right, Lady. You wanna? Is there anything you wanna let people know where to find you and what you got going on out there in the world of poetry?
You can find me as Lady A on allpoetry.com, and you can find me on Facebook as Andrea Wheaton. I've been pretty quiet otherwise. I've given up my radio program, which I hope I can find another someday soon and even develop my own maybe. But I'm laying relatively low right now, so it's all poetry and Facebook for now. And calling into your guys' shows, which I love.
Oh, we love you calling in, too. You know I love you. Thank you very much. Like, girl, I'm going to send you over there to the therapist lounge. Grab yourself a glass of wine. I think somebody's in the office with him right now getting their therapy. Find a recliner, sit back, put your feet up, take your socks off. Baby, baby. One love.
Baby,
one
baby,
mind.
Yes. Thank you. Nice to meet you, John.
One love, one mind. Appreciate you.
One love, one mind.
That is Lady A, ladies and gentlemen. Man, this has been a very good evening. And, you know, if you don't mind, LaPearl, I want to bring in another caller, although I think he's kind of secluded in some type of room closet at his job because he's doing his thing. But we have to bring him in. He is the CEO, the head Negro in charge of Epiphany Radio. Take your socks off. Where are you? Where you at?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One love, man.
One love,
hey,
brother.
Hey, what's up? For real, the poet Douglas. Hey, what's up, boss man?
What's going on? What's up, Miss Girlie? Did somebody put my hand up on me?
No, it wasn't me. Please don't fire me. It's not the best mom. It wasn't me.
Hey, y'all got it going on. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Well, brother, this is all because of you, brother, okay? And, you know, I am so thankful that you gave me the opportunity to come back and see everything going on and just thank you, brother. Just thank you. So, what you at the you at the job you doing the hard working man thing, brother?
Yes, man. Just got up in this thing. I'm up in here, you know, healing upon the sick. And but it's all good, man. I've been getting some good vibes by listening to the show, some very therapeutic discussions being had. I dig that.
Thank you.
Yo, thank you, brother. Thank you. And I'm so go ahead, look.
Huh?
LaPearl, you have something else?
Oh, I was just saying we're going to let you go and get back to what you got going on, because I know you're a busy man, you know. Tiffany ain't the only thing you got going on in the world, but it's good to hear your voice, and trust me, it wasn't me that opened your mind. I just got your plane off.
It's okay. You know, but it's okay. It's great to be able to say hello to everyone, and yeah, you too, a shout out, because you're doing a great, great job on this Saturday night. You know, and the vibe is great, but I'm saying, I was loving, even though I'm unable to spit tonight, sometimes it's good to be able to just sit there and hear others recite, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. So I salute you guys on what you're doing. And I'm going to continue to listen, and you guys continue to have a beautiful night.
Thank you. And you enjoy the rest of your night and be safe. We'll talk later.
I shall. Later,
one
brother.
Love, one
baby.
Brother.
One love, one bite.
The gym day. One love, one mind.
All right.
Hello.
For real. The poet, Douglas.
Yes.
That's
yes. This was an awesome night, filled with some amazing poetry and some awesome poets coming through.
Yeah. And before we go,
I enjoyed doing the show with you guys, and I appreciate you riding shotgun with me.
And before we go, you need to do your thing again and tell them all, at least if you could, every single show that is going on Epiphany Radio, because since I just came back, I still don't know all of them, but you're the OG, so let them know.
Well, I'll give it a try. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to start with Monday night. We have King and Queen's Quarters with King Atterbury and Queen Simmons, and that's a place you need to come on by there and bring something that you love to hear, and that is pretty much anything you can bring. Tuesday night is run by, he got a lot of different names. He goes by Iron Man, King Drip. I really don't know which one it is, but y'all call in Tuesday nights at 9 to Epiphany and check out Mojave's shows. One of them. They also call him Mr. Tuesday Night. Wednesday nights at 9, I am actually one half host of the Erotic Love Zone, where I co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Ms. VIP. The topic is up in the air, but you know how we do. We like to tease y'all a little bit. But regardless, y'all come on by Wednesday night and get caught up in the Erotic Love Zone. Thursday night is one of my favorite shows on Epiphany, if not my favorite. And that is The Get Down, hosted by Poetic and J. Rob the Wise Son. Friday night at 10. This is the only night where the shows are aired at 10 o'clock on Epiphany. We have Renaissance Poetry, hosted by Keith Eric and Kimbrella Renee. And the alternating Friday nights, we have Iron Sharpens Iron, as you heard last night, which was a dope show, hosted by Anonymity. Saturday night, alternating with Poetic. As you see, we are in here right now at Poetic Therapy, hosted by myself, La Perla Negra, and Rob Djembe, Poet Morrow. And the other nights, they are hosted by Poetic, and the shows are titled. One of them is Romantic Sensual Saturday, and the other is Let's Talk About It, How We Do Date Night Differently. Sunday night, we have Inspiration Factory, hosted by Divine Inspiration and Poetic. And y'all, that church up in there, we give praise to the Creator and give our testimony. And then we're right back over at Monday night again, where we started all over again. Epiphany got the week on lock, so y'all can call in and indulge and enjoy every night of the week.
Well, you did it again. So, you know, and eventually I will, you know, mention some of the shows in, you know, the way you would mention them. But I think you do a good job, so I'll let you have it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, usually, I tell you, our station manager, Poetic, usually does the rundown for Epiphany. You know, ain't nobody got it like him. But, you know, we trying to play catch up. You know, we learning. Yeah.
I forgot to mention that if y'all remember me from Epiphany from the past, I hosted a show called Wednesday Night Vibe. It's not going to be no longer on Wednesday night, but it's probably going to be on a Saturday night. I will keep you posted and updated with myself, and the tentative co-host is Carrie Casey, poetically speaking, kindly. Almost forgot her name, and she'll kill me if I did that.
So she wanted to kill me on general principles. But anyway, so anyway, y'all stay posted to that. And that's how we do it on Epiphany. Take your socks off and do the damn thing, baby, baby.
All right. Thank you, all the callers, for calling in for this unique, wonderful poetry and your amazing self. I want to thank you, Rob, for once again for riding shotgun with me. I appreciate you working with me on this. And everybody, as I always say, get that good relationship going with yourself, because therein lies spirit, and that relationship you'll have with you for the rest of your days is going to be with you for the rest of your life. Continue to respect and love one another, okay? And stay safe. Stay vigilant. Stay safe. Use common sense. All right. You got any other closing words, Rob?
No. Just, you know, be safe. Love yourself. And just keep the pen pushing. Take your socks off and just do what you need to do. Baby, baby, this is Poetic
awesome.
Therapy on Epiphany Radio, and we are out, and you have a good night. Peace. One love,
right.
One mic.
See? One love, one mic.
Make the head.